Today we're proud to welcome Lisa Lisson. Lisa is one of Canada's leading CEOs and public speakers. She's known for being the first female and first Canadian president of FedEx Express Canada. And as a powerful advocate for women's advancement, she leads a team of over 6,000 employees. Throughout her career, Lisa has represented FedEx through numerous speaking engagements and media experiences. And in her spare time, Lisa shares her personal story and life lessons through her new book, Resilience, Navigating Life, Loss, and the Road to Success. And through her blog and print, radio, and also her TV interviews. Lisa is passionate about access to quality health care for all children, and in 2013, she joined the board of the Sick Kids Foundation. Lisa is an inductee to the Women's Executive Network Hall of Fame as one of Canada's most powerful women. Today, we're privileged to welcome our dear sister, Lisa Lisson from Canada. Welcome to the air, Lisa.
Oh, thank you for having me, Sister Jenna.
Mm-hmm. So pleased that you have this voice of authenticity and courage. You've been sharing your story on life, loss, and success, and many of us could never truly explain or even try to fathom what our feelings or realities would be like if we encountered, you know, a million kinds of stuff that we didn't sign up for. So you speak to yourself, and you seem to be accountable towards the unfolding of your life. To catch up our listeners more about who you are and how you are where you are today, please, Lisa, could you share what changed massively in your life after 2007?
Yes, I'd be happy to. I was very fortunate to fall in love with my high school sweetheart. We met when we were 14 years old, and we went on to get married and have four beautiful children, three girls and a boy. And when we were both 38 years old in 2007, we just come back from our summer vacation, and it was a profound moment that night when we got back, because my husband Patrick was expressing to me just how grateful he was for our life, how blessed we were, and how lived a life of gratitude like I do. But it was a very profound moment that he took. And we went, we tucked our children in bed and went to, and then we went to sleep to wake up the next morning to start the work day. And I wake up in the middle of the night to a very loud thump. And for those of us that are moms, we do have bionic hearing. And I quickly turned on the light to see where the noise came from. And I realized it came from within the room, and my Patrick was not in bed, and I went over and found him laying on the floor, and he wasn't breathing. So I quickly phoned 911 and started CPR, just begging him, please don't die on me. And I guess my voice was so loud, two of my four children walked in with this when this is happening. So I quickly went in mommy mode and just said, go look for the flashing lights, and everything, you know, is going to be okay. And the paramedics arrived, and they, you know, they took me away to be with my children. And they worked on my beautiful Patrick for 45 minutes, and it was a long 45 minutes of my life. And all I wanted to know was whether they had a pulse. And after time, they did find a pulse, and he was taken to the hospital. And they put him in a drug-induced coma, because when your brain suffers a lack of oxygen, it starts to swell, and they wanted to minimize the swelling. And after about a week of this, the doctors decided to pull back on the drug that was keeping him in a coma to see if he would wake up, and he did not. And I had a team of doctors come to me and say, we don't believe he's not waking up. He seems to be in somewhat of a vegetative state. And I said, is he brain dead? And they said no. And I said, is there a flicker? And they said yes. And I asked one very important question to this team of doctors, and I said, do miracles happen in this hospital? Well, of course, miracles happen every single day. And I said, he is 38 years old. He is the love of my life. Our children are 9, 7, 5, and 3, and I need you to hook him up to whatever life support you can, because I need to know if I'm going to get my miracle. And I kept him alive, Sister Jenna, for 2 years, researching and anything I could to try and wake up his brain. Unfortunately, after those 2 years, it wasn't meant to be. and he ended up passing away in August of 2009.
Can you recall what you felt? And I'm saying this very lovingly. You know, there are times that we almost sigh relief because we were putting in 2,000% more of our energy, and somewhere in our gut, we kind of felt, I don't know if this is even going to ever come back to life. But, you know, the other part of us says, but I believe, and I believe in the power of thought, and I believe in what, you know, I put my energy in will manifest. Did you find yourself going back and forth through like, oh, God, it's over? Or, oh, no. Or did you feel like you were going through both? Because we've been there, you know, when you lose someone, you're like, oh, it's a relief. But then at the other other side is, no.
Yes. So basically, when I made the decision to keep him alive,
mm-hmm.
at that moment, I truly believed that he would come back, and he would come back to me and the children. And I was very, very optimistic, and I was announcing, you know, to family and friends that he is a fighter. He's going to come back, and I truly, truly believe that when I went on this journey now of doing everything I can. I'm an optimist by nature. I believe in the power of our thoughts. I believe that, you know, our thoughts create things, so we must always find ways to choose the good ones, and that's exactly mm-hmm. what I was doing. And then as I got close to towards the end, when he started to deteriorate and he really was not well, he had several bouts of pneumonia. I had put his feeding tube back in many, many times, way more than it should have been put back in. And, you know, the doctors were saying, you know, his tube is coming out. He can't move his hands. Like, why is it coming out? Is this somehow a way of him telling you that you need to let him go? And I realized at that point, when he was getting so ill, that optimism does have its limits, Sister Jenna.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to realize that some things are just meant to be, and that we cannot keep a door open that was meant to close despite our faith and our belief and our optimism. Now, that did not change. I'm still an optimistic person today, but sometimes, as I mentioned, I learned that optimism does have its limits because some things are meant to be, and we must learn to know when it's time to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I had to get to on that journey, to realize it wasn't meant to be. And I had to learn to let go. And I also knew, Sister Jenna, that, you know, in life we always have to put ourselves in other people's shoes to appreciate their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought at the end there, what would my Patrick want? Would he want to live like this? He couldn't see, he couldn't speak. You know, I brought him home every Sunday trying everything I could, but I realized that I had tried everything, and I know I would not want to live like that. And also putting myself in his shoes helped me to come to the point of knowing that it was time to let go.
That's so beautiful. It's true. We have to think about what the other person feels and really walk in their shoes to really get some clarity for our own lives, because I think the formula might be the same for all of us. We just perhaps interpret it or perceive it very differently. Thank you for sharing so beautifully and lovingly and truthfully. I can only imagine what it was like, you know, going through that period. But now, you know, here you are many years later, and with all the other things that you've been through, the loss of other relatives as well, and having to do many eulogies, which you were not intending to do, from relatives apart from your husband, you broke through the glass ceiling, and you went from entry level to becoming the first Canadian and first female president of FedEx Express Canada. And I can imagine when we first step into that energy of vortex, that experience, you can feel like, oh, wow. But now that you've been seeped into the role, and you've gone through, you know, you're going through all the parts and the pieces that will, you know, call you you. Share with us a little bit, what have you found to be some keys to succeeding that our listeners can also use as their takeaway? Because you have become very successful, and yet everything isn't just roses on the floor leading you towards your final destination.
Yes, I'd be happy to. So, you know, life does, although sometimes destiny, you know, just you know, shows up without giving us any warning and comes crashing into our lives, you know, it also does come bearing gifts. And I, almost a year to the day that he had passed away in August 2009, now August 2010, I'm just coming back from vacation with my children. I'm a widow 1 year in, and I get a call and from our head office saying, congratulations. And I said, for what? And they said, you're now the new first Canadian and first female of FedEx Express Canada. And Sister Jenna, I went into shock. Here they are offering me the job. And I said, aren't you going to interview me? But it was a true blessing, because when you're grieving, one of the most important things that I've learned is that we have to find a way to distract our minds from the grieving. And that's very important. And this was a blessing, because I was now a widow 1 year in, and now given this wonderful opportunity, and it was a blessing because it helped me to get through my grieving by distracting my mind and focusing on I wanted to do a really good job. But it also really helped me to find a way to now cope with raising four children as a single mom, and now making sure I do a really good job for my employees. And it really taught me, as I mentioned, you know, destiny, when it shows up and comes crashing into your life, it does come bearing gifts, and those gifts are the life lessons that we must look at and look for. And, you know, I learned many life lessons through the journey, and the journey that I'm still on now. And, you know, some of the key things that I learned and I live today is that I've really learned, Sister Jenna, to really be present in the moment of now, living with purpose and gratitude. For whatever reason, our minds tend to want to live in the past. And I was doing that. I was living in the past when Patrick was healthy, and I realized this was not helping me. And so I learned to really be present in the moment of now and make sure I'm grateful and living life in 24-hour increments. I'm not looking back, because I'm not going that way. And if I do go back, I'm looking for that life lesson that I can bring to the moment. And then when I wasn't looking back, Sister Jenna, then I found my mind was worrying about the future. And I always say this, you know, worrying is like down payment on a problem we may never have. And it robs us again from the beauty of the moment we are in. So the biggest lesson I've learned is really living my life in the presence of now, being extremely grateful. And I learned the power of gratitude, which got me through, because in the darkest of times, when we look hard enough, we can always find reasons to smile. And what I was so grateful for is Patrick could have been driving all of us when he had his heart attack, or he could have been driving some of the children, or he could have just been driving him and I. And so as terrible as my life was, I learned to focus on what I still had to be thankful for. And I realized I had so many things to still be thankful for in my life. And the power of gratitude, I will say, was the biggest gift I got from what I went through. And I will also say that we have to rely on family and friends to support us in the time of need. It's very important to reach out and ask for help. And my mom, she is just such a blessing in my life, and she said some very profound words to me. She said, baby, life is not about what happens to you. It's about what you choose to do with what happens. And when the life forces come crashing into our life and make us feel so hopeless and powerless, remember, you have a choice how you respond, and that will give you some control over your life. And those words were very profound for me, because they helped me realize that I could control how I was going to respond, and how I was going to respond was to seek out those life lessons that I could then come through this stronger than I was when it started.
Oh, that's beautiful. Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We're having a heart-to-heart conversation with Lisa Lisson. And on her Twitter handle, which you can go to at Lisa S. Lisson, this will support what Lisa just shared with us. On her tweet, she has a beautiful image that says, you can't be both awesome and negative. You're going to have to choose one. And I think that is so true, you know, living in between that whole area just makes us so messed up. And so you have your new book. It's entitled Resilience, Navigating Life, Loss, and the Road to Success. Tell us about the book. How's it doing? What are some of the pieces that we can pull out of it today that we perhaps could take with us as food for the soul?
Oh, well, thank you. So it took me 2 years to figure out whether I should do this. It was coming through the encouragement of my friends and family. I honestly thought, you know, do I really have something to say? So I pondered it for 2 years, and I thought, you know what, I was getting friends and family coming to me for a reason, and sometimes we have to listen to those messages that come from others that are helping to guide us. And then I took my time with it, and it took me 4 years to write it, and there were some blessings in writing it. First of all, I didn't realize how therapeutic it would be for me to go back now to those 2 years when he was in a vegetative state from a position of strength. Number two, I wrote it for my babies. You know, they've got so many questions about me and their dad and our relationship together, and I wrote it for them. And then thirdly, I wrote it because I want people to know that they're not alone when they're going through very tragic things like I went through, that they're not alone, to share the journey and the life lessons I've learned in the hopes that it can help others. And it's resonating so well. It's made the bestseller up here in Canada, which I'm extremely grateful for. And I would say that some of the key takeaways is that, you know, we'll talk a little bit about grieving, and I think a lot of people right now get through the grieving process. I've got this one woman who lost her husband 2 days before Christmas who reached out to me. And what I say this about grieving is that with grieving, one of the things that I was doing is we have to learn to find a way to live around the loss. We cannot let it define us. And one of the things that I was doing initially, Sister Jenna, is I was always trying to say, I'm going to get through grieving this year. This will be the year I'm done. And what I realize is that there is no end to grieving, and that's okay. It becomes a part of who we are, and it's a sign of how deeply we loved, and that we have to learn to live around it. We will never be that person we were before, but why should we want to? Because that person that we were before, loved deeply, and it's a sign of love, and we learn to live around the loss. And that's one of the things that I'm sharing with others about grieving. Don't try and get through it. It just becomes a part of who you are, and that's okay. I think the other thing that's resonating well with people that are sharing with me is that, you know, when, you know, we talked about, you know, living with purpose and with gratitude, but the other thing that I think is very important that when you're dealing with these kind of life forces is that, you know, they come to you when you're least expecting it, and the only way to get through it is to really live day by day, month by month, by focusing on what you have to be thankful for and not focusing on what's been taken from you. And then what I promise people is this, is then one day you look up and you realize that the worst is behind you. People used to tell me time heals all wounds. And when I was in the darkness of grieving, I really didn't like to hear those words because I had a hard time finding the light. But what I've learned is that those are very powerful words, and they're true. Time does heal. We just have to believe that the light will come. And the other thing that I share is that, you know, what resilience is when life, you know, just comes at you with this force that knocks you down, and we have the ability inside of us to rise above. We all have it. No one's special. We all have it inside of us. We are stronger than we think we are, to rise above and to say to ourselves, I will seek out the life lessons. I will get through this. I always say the most important conversation we have in life, Sister Jenna, is with ourselves. If we tell ourselves we can't, we won't, it won't happen. If we tell ourselves, I will get through this, I will seek out the life lessons. And I think the greatest aha for me was discovering that I could cope with unimaginable suffering and bounce back from my loss stronger than ever is the greatest gift adversity has given me.
What do you speak about? I mean, you know, that gnawing quiet voice of the doubt, the fear, the anxiety. Am I really going to be able to see this through? There's a very quiet, hidden voice, sort of like something that you tucked away and forgot it was there somewhere in the closet or in the corner. And that voice, unknown to us in many ways, is the voice that's actually holding us back from moving forward, holding us back from really succeeding massively. Are you able to speak to that voice, that hidden voice? Like, how have you found that within you, and were you able to address it in which you were able to move it out of the way so that you could be present, so that you could have an authentic conversation with yourself?
Yes, I absolutely do. And I will admit today, every once in a while, that negative inner voice will creep up. It's only natural. But I think the thing is that, first of all, the only way that you will have a fighting chance is by convincing yourself that you will. And what are you telling yourself that? And for me, what I do is that when I have that negative voice popping up saying, this isn't going to work, you're not going to get through it, and it certainly did, what I would do is I would quickly say to myself, I would quickly silence it by saying, I'm not going to give this inner voice any credence. I'm going to quickly replace that with a positive thought that when I say to myself, oh my gosh, this is not going to go well, wait a minute, wait, stop and pause. I will get through this. I will find the light. And so it's being very mindful of what we're telling ourselves. So when that voice will creep up, and it always will, we must silence it and replace it with a positive thought. And even sometimes, Sister Jenna, I will say it out loud. I will say that positive thought, and I will counteract that inner voice, and we must keep it back. And that's what I do, which I find, you know, is extremely helpful in doing that, is just replacing it with a positive thought.
I love the replacement value, because sometimes we're so busy in getting rid of something but not replacing it with anything, and we just don't know what to do with ourselves.
Yes, I agree. All positive people have negative thoughts. It's just a part of life, but it's pausing it and replacing it, and even sometimes that you have to say it out loud, and that is very, very powerful. And also, too, in believing what you're telling yourself. So when you say, I can and I will get through this, believe those words. The other thing that's very important too is I'm a big believer in visualization. And so when those negative thoughts pop up and you say, I can do this, I will be successful, try and visualize the feeling of being happy again, and try and put those happy visualizational thoughts. They say that those people that visualize their happiness and believe it and see it are more successful in getting through it than those that don't. So visualization is very, very powerful.
I love that. It's true. We need to see what we feel. We have to prepare ourselves to walk into. It's not just abstract. We have to bring the feelings into action and to observe what it co-creates, you know, outside of us, without a doubt. Are you on tour? Are you traveling anywhere? Are you coming to the States to share with us more gifts from your book?
Oh yes, so I'm doing some locations up here in Canada, and then I will be planning to do some book signings in the U.S. and we're just working on doing some scheduling with that.
Oh, please come to the museum. We'd be happy to have a book signing for you there.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we would honor your time there for sure. So leave us with a website where our listeners can get information on you, the book. I've already followed you on Twitter, so I'm sure you'll do the same. And we'll keep in touch with each other, no doubt.
Absolutely. That would be lovely. And thank you so much for having me today. And you're just such a beautiful person inside and out. And you're a blessing to so many people. And it's truly a privilege and an honor to spend some time with you today. I just think you're wonderful.
Thank you. So your website?
Oh, yes, sorry. It's Lisa Lisson, LisaLisson.ca.
Beautiful. Lisa, listen, thank you so much for joining us on America Meditating. Take care.
Thank you.